credit paying Ramosa finds the target. Swinton it was. There's a little short kick from Hodge, who gets the bounce. It's there for Banks. He flicks it out the back door, and a try on debut for Tom Wright. What a start, Australia!
Welcome to the Rugby Fixation. This week, we're celebrating the 50th episode by going through two very exciting teams as we continue our Super Rugby Pacific breakdown and preview. And to join me in doing that is best mate Alex North. You know him from the Blues preview last year. He's been on a couple of episodes talking Wallabies, and now he gets to talk about arguably the best team in the comp, the Force, and the Blues. So let's dive right into it. How are you doing, Northy?
Yeah, good, mate. How are you going?
Very, very good. Very keen to dive into all the things we've been doing with these previews. For those of you at home, that'll be including things like the record of these teams in 2021, some of the players coming in and out of the squad, as well as who's going to be the most impactful, I guess, loss if there was an injury, the players to look out for, and what our ideal 23 looks like. And North, we're pretty good armchair selectors, I think. Just our track record, I'd like to think we've picked some pretty good Wallaby sides and red sides over the years. So we'll see how we do with the Force and Blues.
Yeah, we've picked plenty. I don't know how many of them have come to fruition or would have planned out, but picking them is definitely a strength of ours.
I'd like to think that the Checker era could have been slightly better had some of our selections taken place, but we'll let the pundits be the judge of that when we name the teams for the Force and Blues. In any case, keen to break down these two teams because the Force, while they might not be our favourite, we're obviously Queenslanders and Reds fans. The Force do have something in common with the Reds where they used the least players tied with the Reds in 2021. So only 35 players got used in their season. The biggest surprise is across all of New Zealand and Australia, they're the only team that used more backs than forwards. So the Force have a very structured and very set list of forwards that they use. And the exciting thing is, as we go through, I guess, some of the players they brought in, they've actually got some really exciting forwards. So I'm keen to break that down. But Northy, first of all, they won 4 matches out of the 14 they played. The highlights of their season, I guess, were finishing third and getting a chance to play that semi-final against the Brumbies. But also, I'd say they were probably the best Australian team in the Trans-Tasman comp purely because of how close they were in all the matches. They didn't get a win like the Reds or Brumbies, but they were at least competitive, I think, in 4 of the 5 matches. It was only the Hurricanes that sort of blew them away. So just before we break them down, how would you, I guess, compare their Super Rugby season in 2021 to the other teams?
Yeah, look, obviously, you know, sneaking through to that final spot in AU was a great achievement for them. You know, they've got some very loyal fans out there that definitely deserve, to reap some rewards and at least play in finals footy, whether they make it all the way or not to the main final or eventually win it. Obviously, you know, I don't think that's going to happen this year, but if they could sneak a spot there, that'd be great for them. And you know, a good result for a team that's, you know, been in and out of the competition. I think, that'd be really good for them to sneak a final spot.
And if you are a Force fan, 4 wins out of 14 doesn't sound like a lot, but given it was 0 the year before and the year before that, they weren't in Super Rugby, you're still seeing that as a pretty big positive, aren't you?
Oh, absolutely. And I think as we go through the team list this year, it's more positives for them. I think they've improved their team list. You know, they've brought in some, you know, really good young players and also some players with some experience. They've probably gotten rid of a fair bit of dead wood. There's a few players on the outer there that were, you know, probably past their peak, and it'll be nice to see some young guys come through.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that I'm very keen to look at as we sort of break down the team, because we sort of said it, well, I said at the start, I won't lump you into it, that we're dealing with one of the best teams in the comp. And that stat is accurate if we're basing it off age. They are the second oldest team in the comp. They've got a lot of experience in some positions. But you look at the likes of Sitalaki Tamani and Jeremy Thrush, Greg Holmes, obviously, I think he's 39 or 38 this year. So he's, you know, adding some serious numbers to the average. Richard Kahui in the back line, but even players like Ian Pryor and Kyle Godwin, a surprisingly old team compared to the others. So I'm keen to see how they go, I guess, as we sort of look at the team, but let's dive into it. We might start with the outs even just because we are talking about age. Last year, they recruited a whole lot of international players and a lot of them have moved on this year, meaning that I thought the age would drop quite significantly. They've still got that experience in there. So going through the players that are leaving the force this year, Chris Heiberg and Kieran Longbottom in the propping stocks, Thomas Lozana in the back row. So there's some experience going there, but not many of them got a lot of game time. To me, it's the back line that has a massive reshuffle. So Thomas Cabelli, Jono Lance, Domingo Miotti, Tevita Kurandrani, Jordan Olawofella, Henry Taifu, Marcel Brachy, Jonah Placid, and Rob Carney. Just amongst that lot, we're looking at nearly 300 test caps of experience going out the door. So it's a really big change for them. Northie, from that lot, who is the biggest loss? Who are the force really going to miss this year?
Yeah, look, it's probably hard to put my finger on, especially in the backs there was so much chopping and changing. You know, it's not like they ended up relying heavily on anyone. We saw, you know, Miotti get game time. You know, we saw Kurandrani probably be the most consistent player in that back line, but that's not to say he was, you know, the best. Rob Carney didn't set the world alight, but again, was quite consistent there. And yeah, just that constant rotation means that, yeah, they might miss their experience, you know, probably more around the paddock and in high pressure situations and training. But honestly, I think they're going to improve this year, particularly in the back line with some of these young players that are coming through.
And they're the ones that we're really keen to get into. We won't dwell too much on the outs because some of the players coming in are some of the most exciting ins in the whole of the Australian competition. And some of the names I'm really keen to keep an eye on. So they have done a fair bit of, I guess, inter-team poaching, taken a fair few Brumbies. That comes in the form of Harry Lloyd, Isaac Fiennes, Bailey Quinzel, Rhys Champasotoa, and Rhys Tarpanay. But on top of that, they've also secured the services of Isaac Rodder from Lyon in France. They've also brought in Daniel Aller, who was, I think, with the Manly Seagulls in the NRL. And then Manasa Mataeli has come across from the Crusaders. So to me, probably two big names in there. Northie, I'll let you cover one of them. Who's the big in for you out of that lot?
Look, I think Rodder is going to be great for that team. He's going to add a lot of starch to the forward pack, a bit of mongrel. He can run a line out really well. And I think his work rate around the park, you know, he's going to have a point to prove after, you know, leaving the Reds on, you know, probably not the best terms when all of that went down. So I think now that he's back in Super Rugby, you know, I'm sure he's going to love to line up against, you know, all of the Southern teams. I'm sure he's going to rip in against the Reds, and I'm sure they'll be keen for that one as well. But yeah, I'm really keen to see how Rodder goes this year. You know, he's obviously a Wallaby, and I'm sure he wants to, you know, get back up to that standard pretty quick.
I actually think it worked out in his favour that he got to spend a bit of time with some of the Reds in the Wallabies camp, because otherwise I can only imagine how hostile it'd be on the field given some of the, I guess, Instagram comments, especially Sakaloto tagging in a few posts. So yeah, very keen to see that sort of interaction. But the other player from that list that really sticks out, Manasa Mataeli, I can't imagine there's any rugby fan that hasn't seen his ridiculous offload mid-falling that found its way to Richie Mwanga and he raced length of the field to score. I guess before his injury, he was one of the superstars of the Crusaders team, had an injury, and then Sever Reese has come in and taken its place and not really let it go. So I think re-establishing his career in the Super Rugby side in Australia, and especially one without, you know, really any damaging outside backs, is a really clever choice for him because he's going to get a lot of game time, you'd think, providing he stays healthy. So very keen to see him play. He's also probably my key player to look out for, but I guess one of the other key positions will be some of the new halves they've brought in. So we might go through our best 23. I'm keen to see sort of your thoughts on who I've named, and then we can sort of pick apart some of the positions where there is that little bit of competition or maybe some players that have a point to prove. With the acquisition of Rodder, the tight five's really exciting. So I've gone for their tight five of being Tom Robertson, Fileti Kaiatu'u, Santiago Medrano, Sidoleki Tamani, and Isaac Rodder. Are you seeing any changes there, Northie? Is there someone else who could force their way in?
No, I think that's sort of as expected. I think there probably will be a bit of rotation through the front row. Particularly the props, I can see them all sort of sharing a bit of game time. I wouldn't be surprised if Holmes and Wagner end up getting a couple starts. But, you know, if we're just doing their best 23, I think that'd be the best type five that they can put on the park.
Lovely. And I guess the back row, this is the area where I'm the most, concerned. They didn't name a lot of back rowers in their squad. And one of the players in that sort of position, Fergus Lee Warner, he's sort of shifted between lock and back row where it suited. And then last year, he sort of found himself behind Tim Anstey in the pecking order. Am I ideal back row for them? I've got Lee Warner at 6, Kane Koteka at 7, and Brandon Stander at 8 to start things off. And I'd kind of be happy to see if Anstey can inject himself from the bench and maybe overtake Stander at 8. But are you seeing it any different, North? Is there room for Lee Warner to push into lock, or he should really just sow his seeds at 6?
Yeah, I'd prefer to see him at 6. I guess if they did want a bit more work rate, they could, you know, drop him into 4 or 5 there, because he gets through a ton of work. He's just going to make heaps of tackles, hit heaps of rucks, and make heaps of runs, and obviously be a huge line-out option. You know, that whole back row has got a lot of work rate. You see the same from Stander and Koteka. They're just, you know, they're just everywhere. They're making 10 tackles a game and 10 runs a game and hitting plenty of rucks. So, look, I think you're right. I think Anstey off the bench could be nice, as long as he gets enough game time to have an impact. But, if you know, him coming on 30 minutes to go could allow him to sort of, you know, break a game open with some of those runs that he's become known for.
I think that's the thing, is he did have that one really good game early on where I think everyone was quite transfixed. And I think there's also that appeal for Australian Super Rugby sides when they sign a sevens player. They're like, oh, great. So we've got someone that's really fast and, like, he's just going to break all these tackles. And, you know, sometimes that does play out, but more often than not, there is that adjustment period to the 15-man game. But I think he did get included in one of Dave Rennie's Players of National Interest squad. Yeah. So, you know, there is obviously some keenness on him and some blip on the radar for the national coaches as well. So I am keen to see him develop. I just don't think it's from the starting position just yet.
Yeah. Not everyone can transition from sevens to 15s like Sean McMahon can, so.
Yeah, no. It's always interesting seeing the number of players that had sevens caps before coming across, like Bernard Foley. Like, during his career at the Wallabies, you don't really think about it, but, like, he started off as a sevens player, came to, I think, play fullback for the Waratahs and then sort of shifted to 10. Really didn't seem like it by the end, but, look, I think it's sacrilege talking about him on a Force and Blues podcast. So, for the back line, I've preferred Isaac Fiennes and Rhys Jean-Passatola as the 9-10. And I think that's probably been the most divisive decision so far, because a lot of people are hoping they back the more experienced combo that have been there before of Ian Pryor and Jake McIntyre. But Northy, do you think there's really much risk in sort of blooding this new pair to the team?
Look, they will have to be cautious about how they do it. You know, particularly for, you know, 9 and 10, they are confidence players, particularly at 10 there. You know, we sort of saw what happened to Noel Alessio this year after a couple of tough Wallabies losses. He probably lost his way a little bit. So, yeah, for them to come into Super Rugby, it's, you know, going to be a big step up. And, you know, you want to see them succeed and you want to, you know, give them the environment to do so. So, you know, there probably will be, you know, a bit of rotation there between all three of the 10s. And, you know, if McIntyre starts there to start the year, it's probably not as exciting, probably not as much as potential, but at the same time, he could just sort of take the sting out of the start of the season as they sort of bring these other guys through slowly.
Yeah, and they will want that sort of slow and steady approach, you'd think, just to try and, you know, get some wins on the board, especially given they start with that sort of Australian component. I think the first 9 rounds will all be against either Australian sides or the Indrua. So finishing off the rest of their back line, I've put Godwin and Kahui in the centres with Mataielli, Byron Ralston on the wings and Jack McGregor at fullback. Are there any real changes to that, North? They don't have as many options in previous years. And I guess the most experienced option in left out is Tony Pulu, but for me, he's quite injury prone. We've already got one exciting, damaging winger there. So are there any changes you see happening to that Force team?
Look, I reckon the best back line they can put on the park is going to be the one that gets the ball to Mataielli and Ralston the most. They're exciting players. And, you know, if Godwin and Kahui can just do their job and get it to them, you know, I think they're going to score some tries. It should be good to watch.
Yeah, I'm very keen to see how they go with that. And it gives me hope knowing that Oluwafela was, you know, pretty much just a quick wing. And he found his way to the try line quite a fair few times. He got a few tries, especially in that Trans-Tasman comp, just by being on the end of you know, promising players, being quick. They've got that in Mataielli and Ralston. So they could use that same sort of skill set to try and, you know, bag a few points, because I think they found themselves to be a really strong defensive side. Probably didn't score as many tries as they'd need to be really competitive. So I'm keen to see how Martelli helps that. For the bench, we've mentioned a lot of these players already, but Andrew Reddy, Angus Wagner, Greg Holmes, Ryan McCauley and Tim Anstey, they're the reserve forwards. McCauley I've just put in there because he's young, he's very tall, and I think we need to start developing players as opposed to, you know, putting the likes of Thrush back in there. But is that realistic? Do you think we'll actually get to see him develop, or we'll probably stick to the more experienced sides like the Force have been doing?
Yeah, look, up in the air on that one. I guess if you look at past team lists and past performances, they tend to put out experience. They really value it. Now that they do have, I guess, a young 9-10 combination, you know, they've got, you know, Kaitu at number two there, who, while he's not the most experienced player, he's, you know, what, 27 or 28. So, yeah, I think it's time to let these young guys sort of really have a crack. You know, if they continue to do this, they'll end up having a whole new back line again next year if they choose a lot older fellows again. And yeah, you'll see another huge rotation there. So,
and I think just to round out the 23, because we do have a few question marks, there's a few players where I've probably been leaning for youth more than experience where possible. I have put Pryor on the bench because I do think he's got that sort of leadership and he's a pretty handy goal kicker to have at the end of a match. I really want to see Bailey Kinsella develop, so I've put him there as well. And then the only person who would be a debutant for the team and for Super Rugby as a whole is Grayson Macara. So he's a 21-year-old, primarily outside centre. I think he's got a real chance to try and stake a claim, especially with Kahui being, you know, the incumbent outside centre and quite old, probably not expecting too many more seasons out of him. I'd like to see them try and develop that next sort of breakout player there, but obviously, Reece Tarpane from the Brumbies could do that same job as well. Overall, it's a pretty exciting team, mainly in the sense that there's a lot of young talent that is set to be developed. There's not many names in there that are currently really pushing for Wallaby selection just yet, I don't think. You might get four or five that you think, yeah, you put them in a Wallaby squad, they wouldn't look out of place. Some of the others have a bit of work to do to get to that level, so I think 2022 is the year we see a fair few step up, but it does hinge on them having the same record in 2021 of keeping the bulk of that starting team healthy and limiting their rotations as much as some of the other teams have the luxury of doing. Northy, from that 23 and from that squad, who do you find to be the biggest, I guess, cog in the machine? Who's going to leave the biggest hole if they get injured?
Look, I think Kaitu stands out. I think, you know, Reddy's been, you know, in and around Super Rugby for quite a long time. And, you know, he can perform at this level, but I think, you know, his on-field indiscretions, you know, he's a bit of a penalty magnet and a card magnet and can be a bit hot-headed at times. So, you know, you'd hate to see a situation where Kaitu got injured, Reddy starts next game and gets himself suspended for a couple matches and they could, you know, really be, you know, up a creek, so to speak.
I think he's definitely, you know, high up on the list of players I need to keep healthy. One of the other ones that probably goes a little bit unrecognized is Kane Koteka. He's someone that I never really rated that much during the season last year, but his stats did look quite good. He got involved a fair bit, really high number of tackles, really high number of, I guess, ruck involvements and a few pilfers along the way as well. And looking at the squad, they don't have a made to replace seven in that list. I guess Anstey could fill in there at a pinch, but he's not really that same sort of open side and, you know, pilferer that you'd find in some of the other squads. And I think there was quite a bit of confusion as to why Carlo Tozzano didn't go across from the Tars, knowing that, you know, Hooper would take his seven jersey. So to me, I actually think Kane Koteka has a bit of a vital role to play in this team, because I think it's a little bit of a step down to his next seven option in the full squad. So again, as we sort of mentioned, they've got a pretty good team. It's just about how deep their squad can really go in this competition, especially with the number of outs we listed just before. Let's get to the exciting part, the draft. If we were to go through this team, who's the first Force player that you're looking to draft from that lot? Who have you got your eye on?
Look, I don't think this is going to come to any surprise as anyone who's done any kind of fantasy rugby in the past, but it's got to be Mataeli.
Yeah.
If he's not the first person drafted from that Force team, I'll eat a hat. I'll eat my own hat. I'll eat anyone's hat.
Yeah. I'll make sure to bring a hat to the draft night just in case. I think that's a pretty safe bet, though. He is just going to get so much ball, you have to imagine there. And on top of that, like, he doesn't need that much ball to show effect. He's still only 25. He's a lot younger than a lot of people probably presume. He's got some enormous potential in this team. So I'm very keen to see how he plays. I'll throw one in before I go back to you for a third option, but I think someone that'll go deceptively early is Kaitu'u. I think there's a few standout hookers in the competition. I do think there's a bit of a jump down after that. One of the things that stands out in his favour is I think he's got a pretty clear advantage over the other hookers in the squad. Jack Winchester's obviously quite young and experienced. Andrew Reddy's got the experience, but he's proven he's quite a hothead and not really the kind of player you want to have on for large chunks of the game. He's quite a penalty magnet. So for me, I think Kaitu'u could be one of those smoky picks that goes quite high. I'm not going to take him sort of first five or six rounds, but he's definitely going to be up there for the hooking stocks. Who else from that crew do you think would make the cut quite early, Shu?
Look, there's a few there that are probably on a similar level. I'm going to name two, though, just to keep it interesting, because they'll probably go one after one another. There's every chance they could, and that's Rodda and Lee Warner.
Yeah.
You know, locking stocks are pretty thin this year. And, you know, both those guys would be pretty high on the list, you know, for locks that you'd want in your team. And, you know, I think we've been discussing it. There's probably 8 or 9, maybe 10 at a pinch good locks. And, yeah, after that, it sort of drops off a bit.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. I don't think this has been released yet, but on the Brumbies preview, said very much the same about young Darcy Swain. While he might not be, you know, household name for fantasy players, you know, he's not going to be making thousands of tackles or carries every game, but the lock stocks are quite thin. He does actually jump up quite quickly. So I think the calls on Rodder and Lee Warner are very, very fair. Lastly, with the Force, before we move on to the Blues, we need a ladder prediction. So with 12 teams in the comp and their recent form being 2020 coming dead last with 0 wins, and 2021 coming third out of the five, you know, with I think they got 4 wins in that comp. How many wins, roughly, or what ladder position do you think the Force will end up in on 2022?
Yeah, look, I think about 9th or 10th would probably suit them. I still think they're going to sort of not necessarily struggle, but, you know, they'll probably lose some close games. And, you know, if they can turn a few of those close losses, you know, especially against the Kiwi teams, because, you know, they're going to be as strong as ever this year. If they can sneak a win or two against Kiwi teams and then, you know, do the job on, you know, Darua, Pacifica and potentially the Tars and the Rebels, you know, they're in with a shot. They could, you know, sneak into 8th or something, but I think they'll just miss the finals and sit about 9th or 10th.
Yeah. And that's what I've got to do. I've got them in 10th. I was sort of saying to anyone that will listen, 8th to 12th could rotate very quickly. I think that whole sort of bottom five, there's a lot of room for manoeuvring. And I think out of that lot, Force, I've put them at 10th. I think they're sort of right in the middle of that mix where they've got a bit of experience and they've also got some exciting players. I think really held down by a strong tight five. I think beyond that, and especially with the, you know, a competition that's going to have 14 different games, it's quite a long time to get through without expecting some injuries or some issues with players. So I think trying to get beyond that will be impressive. If they can squeeze into the finals again in that 8th spot, that's really impressive. I do think they'll fall probably just short of it this season as well. So there's no one on the same page. works out well when we're talking the same sort of stuff about these teams. And we'll probably have some similar thoughts on some of the Blues players as well, because they've had a massive change of players in and out, but they have named one of the best squads of the year. I think it's really right between them and the Crusaders for which squad gives the most excitement. And importantly for us, which squad will also get drafted the most players from. So Let's have a look at them. 2021, the Blues finished with 10 wins out of 14. They probably didn't quite hit the heights they wanted to in the Super Rugby Aotearoa comp, falling just short of the Chiefs in third spot and missing out on the final there. But they really atoned for that in the Super Rugby Trans-Tasman competition, dismantling pretty much every team they came up against, really doing a number on the Rebels. I think it was 50-3 in that first round. They just looked so superb there. And they ended up making it to the final, where they ended up beating the Highlanders 23-15 for the Trans-Tasman Cup there. So 10 out of 14 is very handy. Northie, is that as you'd sort of expected for the Blues, or should they have done a little bit better in that earlier competition?
Look, it's hard to say. I think those New Zealand teams can really all take wins off each other on their day. I think with the way it's structured, when you're only playing, you know, those other teams once, you know, it can go either way in some close ones. So, look, I'm really excited about this team. You know, their backline is, you know, fantasy goals pretty much. You know, you'd be happy having, you know, their backline as your backline in fantasy, and you'd be doing well to jag a couple of their players because they're all going to be going early. In terms of the ins and outs, I'm pretty keen to check it out. There's, you know, probably one big name that I'm sure everyone's keen to chat about.
Absolutely. We'll go through the outs first, just because we did that with the force. And even in this mix, there's some positions that I think have taken a real hit. The squad as a whole isn't too poorly affected because it still looks good on paper, but there's probably, I guess, three positions that they have taken a fair bit of chunk of talent out of. So, looking at the outs, Lenny Apisai, Ray Neuer, and Lutero Tolai, all three hookers, they're gone out of the squad there. So that does leave a bit of a gap. I think it's both Neuer and Tolai have gone to Moana Pacifica, so they'll have that sort of combination there. But three, you know, big losses to the front row. Right behind them, Jared Cowley, Tuioti, Jacob Pierce, and Patrick Tuipulotu have all left, so three locks. I think that's a massive issue for the Blues at the moment, just because Patrick Tuipulotu has been, you know, a captain and a bit of a rock for the team. And GCT has also been really good as well, and a really solid player. I think whether he's starting or off the bench has done quite a job for the Blues. Behind them, Blake Gibson and Dylan Hunt, two open side flankers that they've both left the Blues. On top of the backline players, Jonathan Ruru, Oteri Black, TJ Fiani, and Amoni Narawa. So some big losses in there. We've sort of touched on Patrick Tuipulotu just before. I think it kind of goes without saying, if you lose your captain, that's a massive loss. Is there another name in there that you think will be, I guess, hard to replace or quite damaging to the team, Northie?
Yeah, look, depending on, I guess, who's coming in as the replacement could be sort of left up to debate, and we can get to that. But I think at inside centre, TJ Fiani is probably going to be a pretty big loss for them. He's been in and around that Auckland team for quite a while. And he's been very consistent. He's, you know, usually performed pretty well. He's had a couple of huge games where he's, you know, gone on a try-scoring spree and absolutely, you know, killed it. And, I think just for someone that's been in the team so long in a position that's as crucial as 12, you know, he's been a nice person to rely on.
I absolutely agree. I think that's probably been one of the most important constants of the team, especially since sort of George Mawala left. He's been in that position for quite a while. So it'll be interesting to see how they replace that. But luckily enough, in our ins column, there's probably one key name there that will be able to replace that, and you'd think do quite a good job. So the Blues bring it into their squad for the 2022 season. We have Jordan Lay as one of the props. I think he's actually covering his brother, who's injured at the moment, James Lay. Ricky Riccatelli, an exciting grab from the Hurricanes. Luke Romano, Cameron Suafoa, James Tucker. So three locks across two different Super Rugby sides and their development squad. Anton Segner, the first German player in the NPC and now the first one in the Super Rugby competition. And we're also looking at Taufa Funaki in the forwards. The backline players, Bowden Barrett, Corey Evans, Tamati Tua, and Roger Tuivasa-Sheck from the NRL. Some really nice names in there, but probably a few that stick out. Northie, who's the biggest name and inclusion for you from that lot?
Oh, so look, I think Bowden being back in there goes without saying that, you know, he's just going to add something to this team that, you know, I guess they had for parts last year, but, you know, him starting the season again with them, having a full preseason with them, getting to train with everyone is going to be huge for them. And then obviously, you know, the sort of unknown of Roger Tuivasa-Sheck. We've seen what he's done in the NRL. He's done it for years. I believe he's won a Dally M. I'm sure he's been fullback of the year as well. He's captained his country. He's got a lot going for him. You know, he played that fullback role to a T. You know, he definitely evolved into a playmaking fullback in the NRL. So it'd be great to see what he can do in a super team. And, you know, he's going to be surrounded by experienced players either side of him, and not only experienced, but some very good players around him as well. So it'd be great to see what he can do this year.
I'm very keen, because when we look at recent history, there's been so many NRL greats, you know, like not just NRL players, but some NRL greats that have come across, and it's been hit or miss. We've seen some like Sonny Bill Williams and Israel Folau, obviously freaks in league, came across, were freaks in union, you know, arguably best in the teams at times. But then we've seen examples like Benji Marshall and Sam Burgess, again, freaks in league, but they've come across and not really delivered for union. So I'm keen to see how RTS shapes. I think the sooner that he gets game time, because I know the Auckland team, which he signed up for in the NPC, they had pretty much all their season derailed because of COVID. So he didn't get a chance to actually play any of that real competition. So I'm very keen to see how he sort of shapes up. But it's all promising news from the head coach, and seems to be really impressed with him at training. There's obviously a lot of talented players to look out for. I think looking at the team, one of the players that sticks out for me is Caleb Clark, just because he obviously had that breakthrough year with the All Blacks in 2020, but didn't last year because he's tried to put his eggs in the sevens basket. And unfortunately for him, he didn't get selected in the final squad. He was just a traveling reserve. And so he didn't get the chance to really play in either sport. And so we didn't see him for quite a while. He's just someone that looks so exciting though. So I'm keen to see him reignite, ideally, his All Blacks career this year with a pretty strong season on the wing. But Northie, is there another player in there that you're really keen to see this season?
Yeah, there's plenty there. But I think I'm really excited for Bowden again. He's been, you know, such a good player for such a long period of time. You know, he's enjoyed a little bit of time off now. You know, he'll be dueling with Richie for that, you know, All Blacks gig. It's been great to see, and the fact that they've got, you know, some of the best playmakers in the world at their disposal at an All Black level is really exciting. And, you know, it's at that time where, you know, Richie's a bit younger, but, you know, Bowden's almost still the incumbent. So it's a huge battle there. And, you know, whoever has the better super season, you know, will be getting that jersey at the end of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's one of the nice narratives is now it really does seem like Blues and Crusaders have a clear sort of, I guess, battle for that top spot. I'm very keen to see how the sort of individual matchups go throughout the year, and also just try and get a gauge of who's putting the hand up more for All Blacks inclusion, because just even looking at the back rows and looking at some of the you know, backs that they've got at their disposal, there's really so many options that are really fighting for probably the same All Blacks jersey. So I think it sets up a really nice season for them. Looking at the 23 that they could name, there's talent everywhere. So I nearly think in naming this, I can't name it wrong. You know, there's going to be some level of impression just based off the names that are coming through. But for me, one of the instant challenges is they've got four All Black props. So choosing two to start and two to come off the bench is always a hassle. But looking at this, I've gone Hodgman, Riccatelli and Laulala as the starting front row. And that's put Eklund, Tuanuku Afe and Tuonga Fasi on the bench. North, it pains me to say it because I want Offa Tuonga Fasi starting just from a purely fantasy perspective. But does that sort of make sense to you? Could you see them running that process as well?
I think they're all going to get starts. They're all going to, you know, spend a lot of time on the park. I think with how Eklund played last year, I wouldn't be surprised if they sort of keep him in that starting role. Initially, if Riccatelli, you know, plays very well off the bench, you know, he could jag that spot for a few games or something. But I think Eklund really grew into that jersey last year, especially towards the end of it. I'd be surprised if they're not starting him again.
Mm-hmm. I think the other thing that concerns me is Well, I guess the reason why I put those around the bench, I can't imagine a team wanting to face them in the second half, because the three of them combined have to be close to 400 kilos. Like, that's three big boys. So I'm very excited to see all of them get a crack. But, I mean, they can't really go wrong with the front row. The locks are interesting. I've put in Luke Romano for his experience to partner Josh Goodhue, who's been at the club for quite a while. And that's left Sam Darry, who's young but exciting, on the bench. Do you see them going that way too, North?
I'd imagine so. I think, you know, across the park, we're probably going to find this. But, you know, with how versatile some of the players are these days, you know, you could set up that back row and locks in many different ways. You know, having Robinson starting wouldn't be a bad option. You know, there's every chance that he could slide into one of the starting lock jerseys. I think he's played there before. He's played well there before. You know, if he had a bit of a rotation through the locks, or you know, even if they're starting Ioane off the bench or Sotiriou off the bench, which they have done in the past, you know, he could provide work rate at six and then bring on someone who's really going to break the game open. So, you know, those options are great to have in a team, and, you know, it's a good headache to have as a coach.
I think that's probably the most intriguing, I guess, proposition for them, because in all my drafts for this, I really had Tom Robinson as one of the locks, just because I thought, well, he's one of the better players, so put him in there. I'm trying to steer clear of that a little bit and keep them in the positions that they're trying to play. But I think he is such a work rate player. He could very easily, you know, take over in the locks or back row. But just as we mentioned that, I mean, Akira Ioane, Dalton Papali'i, and Hoskins Satutu, an entire All Blacks back row, like, just exciting players top to bottom. Papali'i's got a whole heap of game time at seven for the All Blacks and didn't look out of place. There's now no longer Dylan Hunt, who didn't get to play last year, but also Blake Gibson, who I guess was the incumbent seven probably the season before. I think he's pretty much got a mortgage on that jersey until Adrian Choate sort of develops a little bit more. Northy Shoy, that's just fantasy gold. If that was your fantasy back row, you'd be stoked.
You'd be stoked. And yeah, I mentioned Robinson starting, but at the same time, you know, on paper, that is, you know, their best back row. And, you know, arguably I'm looking at some of the other back rows in these teams, and I thought maybe arguably the back row of the comp.
Yeah,
it'll be up for debate, but it's very, very good. You know, Papali'i's developed heaps this year, as you said, not looking out of place at, you know, test level. And yeah, he seemed to grow another leg out there. He actually, you know, probably exceeded expectations and really performed really well in those games.
I think he's probably the one that gets overshadowed a bit just because of how big and dominant the six and eight are, whoever the Blues tend to name. But Papali'i's leg drive is quite underrated. He's going to have a real breakthrough year again, I think, as he just keeps, you know, ascending to try and take over either Kane or Surveyor in the seven jersey for the All Blacks. But looking at the back line for the Blues, we've talked about how exciting it is. I think Finlay Christie and Beauden Barrett are pretty much guaranteed 9-10 if everyone's healthy, obviously being the All Blacks. But they've got pretty good reserves in Sam Nock and Stephen Perifetta. And even Harry Plummer can cover the 10-12 position quite well. The centres, I've gone Tuivasa Sheck and Rico Ioane. Two players, you know, that could play on the wings, but there's not that many other centre options. Northy, is that the centre combo that you want to see them starting the season with?
Yeah, well, we know Ioane's, you know, wanted to make that move to outside centre and effectively has at all levels of rugby now, for the most part, obviously. But yeah, I think he's locked in for that 13 position. I can't see them putting him back out on the wing again, especially at super level. It'd almost seem like a waste, especially when, you know, their wing stocks, you know, are pretty high. They've got lots of options on the wings. You know, there's no reason to play him there. RTS, you know, I think he could play 12 well. He's sort of got the skill set for it. I guess the only thing is the transition back to rugby. You know, if everything clicks, you know, he could light it up at 12. However, you know, I don't think he's going to start the season there. They'll probably bring him off the bench initially and maybe get some game time onto the wing first. But yeah, he could do anything if he hits the ground running.
Yeah, he's someone I'm very excited about, but again, is that unknown quantity. So it does make him a bit risky just as we start the season off. To round out the starting team, you really can't go wrong. I've got Caleb Clark, Mark Talia, and Zane Sullivan. But I mean, we're leaving names like Perifetti could slot in at 15. They've still got Bryce Heem, AJ Lamb, Jacob Rademoki, Nitkins. So many options that could jump into any of those jerseys. Is Clark Talaia Sullivan the go-to North, or do you think it's time to try and trial someone else on that right wing?
No, I think that's got to be the go. You know, you look at two seasons ago and you know, what Mark was doing there, you know, it was incredible. It was a huge get for anyone who had him in fantasy. And did he finish with the highest tries that season? Or if he didn't, he certainly would have been up there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I'd like to see him stay there. You know, I think probably Sullivan is the most contentious one if they want to start Perifetta there. You know, they might be able to, but in saying that, you know, he's got big raps on him and he did come in and play well last year. He probably, you know, didn't set the world alight in the sense that he didn't have a debut season, say like, you know, McKenzie or Jordy Barrett or like some of these other fullbacks coming through, but he played his role really well. He's got a huge boot on him. He injected himself when he needed to. He's still super young. I think he's only 19. You know, I really think they just need to let him develop. I think he's one for the future.
Lovely. And they've just got options everywhere, so they can't really do too wrong. I think no matter which way they do name the team, they've just got so many exciting options, especially in a running game, but also with a front row that's, you know, happy to do a lot of work. I just see them doing so well this year. So we will get to their prediction soon, but firstly, let's have a look at the biggest hole if there's an injury. For this, I mean, because of their depth, they're so stacked everywhere. But we did sort of mention before, I think Papali'i, if he gets injured, that is their best seven, and they don't have the same backup that they had last year. So there is that concern that, you know, with all these great back rowers, do they have enough cover in that seven jersey? I'm sure Choate would step up and do a good job, but it is a step down from, you know, an All Black seven. Is there another position there, North, where you see them potentially struggling if there's an injury?
Yeah, I think I jumped the gun and mentioned it a bit earlier, but yeah, I think at inside centre, you know, depending on who they go with, you know, RTS definitely isn't a lock to start the season there. You know, you could see, you know, I think Perifetta spent time there, you know, Plummer spent time at 12, but none of them are probably out and out 12s. And I think that could be the trouble if they do, whoever they're using in that position this year almost is going to be, you know, a little bit of a stopgap. For the time being, until they either develop someone or they fully become accustomed to that position. I think there could be some issues at 12 if someone to get injured.
And that's one of the key questions again. I think the days are getting closer to the first lot of trial matches, and we're sort of waiting with bated breath just to see some of those first team lists for the year, because it is always exciting to see them sort of pop through. We've, you know, sort of wax lyrical, but there's so many exciting draft options. I think just in sort of a mock draft, there were four Blues players taken in the first 15 picks. So that does sort of, you know, speak to the level of excitement that comes from this side. But, you know, all things being equal, if you had the first crack at a Blues player, North, who's the one you're taking?
Well, I think it's Rico. He's coming off the back of an absolutely huge All Black season. You know, some of the tries he was scoring, he was just, you know, making world-class opposition look funny or look silly rather, let alone what he, you know, was doing against the US team. I think he just, you know, went crazy that day as well. So, yeah, I think Rico's got to be number one draft pick. Who are you taking with your second Blues pick?
Second Blues pick. I mean, I got burned a little bit by Caleb Clark last year, so I'm reluctant. But I think one of the ones that I do want to take, I'm going to take his brother, Akira. I think he went a long time playing in pretty much every Blues match and then had a little bit of hiatus at the start of last year, just, you know, coming off the bench, not getting the same minutes. But we saw him have his best All Black season, I think, to date, and really sort of impose himself. And he's just someone that's exciting. Like, just watching him play, he just gets involved in all the stuff you want a fantasy player doing. So I think, to me, he's going quite high up there. This is sort of in conjunction with news of one particular player having some sort of concussion issues and maybe not starting the season. But I guess if that player weren't involved in any concussion issues and was starting the first round of the competition, Northy, who would you be taking relatively early?
Look, I gave him raps at the start of the pod or start of this one, and it's got to be Bowden. Yeah. You know, he's Rugby World Player of the Year numerous times. He, you know, had a lock on that 10 jersey for the All Blacks for quite a while. You know, even to this day, I think the All Blacks are probably still a better team when he's in there. And he'll do the exact same things for the Blues this year.
Yeah. Now, I think everyone's excited to see him play again because it's just, it's been a while since he's had a full season start to finish where he's actually going to stay in that team for that amount of time. He's obviously had the Japan clause and been able to sort of get out of seasons here or there with slight injuries. Hopefully, the concussion symptoms, you know, sort of dissipate to the point that he can start the season from round one and hit the ground running. But we'll see that, I guess, in the coming weeks, how that progresses. The last thing to touch on is their predicted finish. And we've already covered the Crusaders. So those listening know that I've put them first. I've spoken about the Blues being, you know, of nearly equal caliber. So I've got them as second. North, is there any world in which they do take that first spot? Can you see them, you know, staking claim for that number one position this year? Or do you think they're probably still destined for that second spot?
Look, I think it's really going to come down to, you know, probably their matchup. You know, whoever wins the matchup between the Crusaders and the Blues, it's going to go a huge way to cementing that number one spot, because it's not just the win, it's taking the win off the other teams. So, yeah, look, it's probably going to come down to whoever wins the match between the two teams. Obviously, there's, you know, always chance for an upset during the year. You know, we've seen the Reds go pretty close to the Crusaders, you know, consistently lately. So, you know, if one of those, you know, comes off and the Reds, say, beat the Crusaders, you know, that's not to say that they're a lock. There's every chance that, you know, the Force sneak a win against the Blues as well. So it's going to be a really interesting season. I think it's going to be closer than people are probably thinking, particularly between those bottom teams. I really hope they do well this year.
Yeah, I think that's the number one thing we're after, is just a really tight and competitive season across the board for the teams, and definitely a step up in competitiveness from the Trans-Tasman comp of last year, which, you know, I think the Crusaders fans are still a bit annoyed that they didn't make the final just because of bonus points. So they didn't beat teams as much as the other teams beat teams by, but they went through without losing and still didn't make the final. So they will have a little bit of a point to prove, I feel. And the Blues will be licking their lips knowing that they won it. So that wraps up our Blues and Force. Glad to have you on for that, North, because that's covered two teams that we're both very excited for. Plenty of exciting new names in the competition. And these guys are fielding teams that, especially just the starting teams, just have talent really all over the place. So I'm very keen for the season, very keen for the draft season to start off too. I know that we're going to be sort of organizing that today. We've just sort of settling on locations and let's say how to get into the spirit of things. So I'm very keen to see how that day pans out as well. Thanks for coming on, and let's enjoy the Super Rugby Pacific season.
Absolutely. We might have to jump on with the draft boys or do our own draft recap after that. I'm sure there'll be a bit to talk about. I'm sure we'll both be keen to have a chat about how it plays out.
I would consider doing a live video or a recording of the draft and putting that up, but I think there'd need to be some explicit warnings just after some picks and some maybe tantrums after a few players get taken early. But we'll play that one by
ear. People don't want to see us with our shirts off either.
Yeah, that's true, especially because I think it's nearly guaranteed to be either before or after a few CCs, Summersbees, or a nice Getter or Domino's feed as well. So we'll spare the public the thought of that just for the time being. But thanks for coming on, and thanks for listening. We'll see you next week for the next round of previews.